This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. If you're part of a mutual fund that includes stock in a weapons manufacturer like Smith & Wesson, you likely had a handsome 80% return on your investment last year. The National Shooting Sports Foundation reports that December of 2012 was the biggest month in the history of American gun sales. The surge was stimulated, at least in part, by worries that President Obama would focus on gun control in his second term. Those profits made for a good spike in your 401k, perhaps. But what if you're a proponent of stricter gun laws and had no idea that your multi-stock portfolio had interests in weapons? Same goes for tobacco or nuclear power or sweatshop manufacturers. Many people who are adamant about their morals are passive about their investment portfolios. Joining us to discuss what may be lurking behind your mutual funds and how you can stay informed is David Hills. He's founding principal of Verus Wealth Partners. We should note also previously an NHPR underwriter. David, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
And Nicole Dolan, she's wealth manager for Verus Wealth Partners. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Virginia.
Okay, do you, either of you have any idea what percentage of people really know what's in their 401k?
The answer to that briefly is no. But I think that most people tend to be quite busy and probably are not paying attention.
Well, we do see a lot of people who get their statements. They look at those, but not necessarily any of their proxy material. That may go straight into the recycling bin. So what do you do to help people inform themselves? Or how can people keep better informed?
I think one of the ways people can really delve into what they own is just really doing a Google search, looking into it. Mutual fund companies do typically disclose their entire portfolio holdings once a month.
So does that mean if you have something like Smith & Wesson, I'm going to use that example just in this case, because we did, have this so-called Obama surge in sales. Many investors may not share gun buyers' enthusiasm for Smith & Wesson, but would they even know? There are so many products, there are so many names for things in their mutual funds. Would they even know if they were invested in a particular publicly traded company?
I think that investors probably wouldn't know. They'd have to be concerned to begin with, I think, because it's not something that's going to pop out. Mutual fund companies produce statements oftentimes, many of them that are pretty hard to follow, and the quarterly reports that people get in the mail are no easier. But I think that as most and a lot of investors are starting to try to be conscious more and more about what they eat, where their charity dollars go, the products they buy. There's a big push for products to create an affinity with their clients, their customers. And I think as people look at all this, there's a huge opportunity for people to look at their financial resources as an opportunity to vote with their dollars. And moving money into investments that reflect one's values is probably one of the biggest opportunities other than philanthropy that people have to make a change in the world.
So we mentioned weaponry. I don't want to pick on that. There are so many other issues. But what are some of the other things that people are mainly concerned about that they don't want to be investing in?
Well, I think the obvious one, Nicole, is from Hawaii, and the recent recent results that came back from monitoring the atmosphere showed that we now have crossed over, crossed onto 400 parts per million of carbon. And 350.org, a nonprofit organization, is trying to work to educate people about the fact that we are getting closer and closer to a point where climate change is going to be irreversible. Mm-hmm. So I think people definitely want to look at their investments and make sure that their investments are not supporting companies that are unconscious about the environmental issues that are concern all of us.
David, are there any particular tools online or otherwise that help mark these kind of companies? Because, you may have investments in an energy company and not knowing that they're doing fracking and being concerned about that, for example. That's one of those big buzzwords.
Yeah, I think one of the we really look at issues across environmental, social, and different governance factors. And it is a lot of research for individuals to do on their own. There are a number of mutual funds as well as mutual fund families who do really focus on doing in-depth research and have offerings that not only avoid companies who, may have practices people don't agree with, but also, there's positive screening where these companies are being very proactive in terms of their environmental policies, in terms of their employee policies. And A really great place is a really great starting place for individuals is to look at USCIF. And so that's a nonprofit organization that has a number of resources on their website to steer folks towards these type of mutual funds as well as community investments.
USCIF?
Yes, USSIF.
Okay. So it's USSIF.org.
Okay. We'll make sure we have a link to that at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we're talking about aligning your investments with your values. You just heard from David Hills and Nicole Dolan of Verus Wealth Partners in Portsmouth. Responding, a lot of people are responding to the collapse of a garment factory in Bangladesh, surges in gun sales, climate change. People are really concerned about what their funds are funding. But let's be frank, people do invest for personal gain. Are they getting, do we have any evidence that they're going to get a bigger return from companies that some people find damaging?
Well, I started in this business in 1983, and I have to admit there was very little data back then about what the cost, quote-unquote, was going to be to investors who had their values reflected in their investments. But now, some 30 years later, it is factually accurate to state that investors who have their values broadly diversified, as they would in any investment pool, but broadly diversified in funds that do provide social screening have not seen any cost in terms of their long-term performance.
Hmm. Well, how about money managers? I mean, obviously, asset managers who head big mutual funds, can we have any expectations that they might reflect our moral values, or is that just something that gets done with an individual investor?
I think the ones that sort of have a dedicated product that is focused on, sometimes it's called socially responsible investing, or there's, the lingo of the day, sometimes socially or sustainable and responsible investing, or now there's sort of the impact language coming out. But I think to find a manager who really is taking these values and concerns into their investment process, they're the ones who are really advertising they do have this mandate.
How about, in addition to just knowing what's going on inside of our portfolio, there are many who have crossed the Rubicon and become shareholder and activists, actually working to make their investments or the companies that they invest in much more responsible. It feels like it is a big barrier to cross over. What is that experience like for individual investors, do you think?
I think really the easiest way for individual investors is really through these mutual funds, and I think they do provide a great venue for this. For instance, shareholder advocacy, it's sort of two-part. One is, usually in the proxy voting and each share that's owned to vote in changing companies' policies. But there is a component that is also dialogue. And the different mutual fund companies that are sustainable or responsible, as well as others, big pension funds, have been very active shareholders and have moved the dial in companies' policies. Whether that's the big electronic companies, they now take back their e-waste. Mm-hmm. That is a large part due to shareholder advocates, and the company then looks very good, and they look like they're proactively taking the e-waste. But that they just didn't come up with that idea on their own. It's a lot of pushback from actual owners of your company.
We have just a minute left, but I'm wondering about how one keeps vigilance as a money manager on these kind of companies. A lot of people announce, corporations announce initiatives, making themselves look very good. We've done had a lot of conversations about greenwashing. How do you make sure they stay compliant?
I think that, again, as Nicole said, is probably best enforced through the mutual fund companies who are in constant dialogue with companies. But I want to just make sure that we mention that there are many ways to be an activist and have your money reflect your values. We shouldn't leave out the fact that people can move money out of Wall Street banks and put it into community banks. Right here in Concord, there's a New Hampshire Community Loan Fund that does wonderful work. And there are many ways to move money.
Well, thank you so much, David Hills, for joining us today. And also to you, Nicole, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
David and Nicole are from Verus Wealth Partners in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. David is a founding principal and Nicole is a wealth manager. Now, we do have much more about their company and about SRI, Socially Responsible Investing, at wordofmouthradio.org. Stay with us. We've got Vinx coming up, R&B right here in New Hampshire. Who'd have thunk it?